Danny, you okay there?
Fuck me. Yeah, guess so. This ain't my idea of fun, though.
So why did you volunteer for it?
I don't know. I'm not cut out for all this. I should have stayed back at base, fiddling with the old tech and trying to make some sense of it.
You use the comps?
I try. When I was a little kid, I lived in Charity. My dad was on sec there, and where Baron Al had some of the old stuff, then I'd get to mess around on it. I suppose it was all the pretty lights when I was small.
You mean to say that the Baron actually had some of the old comps up and working?
I wouldn't exactly say that. See, as much as I can remember it, and I've been here for what seems like years, part of Charity's built on what used to be some kind of place where they made stuff like that. So they had generators of their own and lots of the old stuff in different stages, like different parts of the process of putting it together, you know? Sometimes Baron Al would fuel up the generator and run some of them, try to make sense of them. There were still papers in all the old offices that probably tell you how it all works, but the dumb fuck couldn't read it all and didn't trust anyone else.
So how come you got to use them?
Wasn't supposed to, but my dad had to look after me and work for the Baron on sec. He was a really good sec man at one time. And then, when my mom died, there was no one else to look after me, so he got detailed on all the jobs where he didn't have to go so far. Then he could take me with him. It wasn't supposed to be that way, and Baron Al didn't know shit about it, but Joe was chief sec then, and he and my dad got on. It was harder once he got banished. My dad had to sneak me in. Oh, shit, shit, shit!
Don't worry, Danny. I got your back.
Yeah, thanks, Dean. Anyway, he got to be sec on all the things that Baron Al thought were important, but weren't under direct threat from outside, which I guess more or less meant all the old tech he'd got and was hoping to use. I'd be in there sometimes looking at stuff, and he'd turn up with some other guys, and then I'd have to hide. That was easy, because it was always Dad that did the search. But I'd hear Baron Al talking about this stuff to these other guys, and he figured that he could make himself ruler of all the Deathlands if he could figure out how to use it.
Dean took all this in as they neared the bottom of the mountain road. It seemed to him that Danny knew more about the old tech than he perhaps even realized, and if together they could find some way into Charity and get to see or maybe steal some of those papers, then that could be even better than getting the old tech itself. Dean figured that it was the paperwork that held the key to how the tech operated, and that was the real secret, the real treasure.
So how did it all come to an end?
They leveled out from the steep descent and hit the soft desert soil at ground level. Danny shrugged.
I got too involved in the comps one day. Didn't hear anyone coming until it was too late.
How come the Baron didn't chill you?
Well, it was kind of more complicated than that. The Baron was with someone. I think it was some traitor who claimed he knew something about the tech. They were right on me before I heard him. And although I hid, I guess the traitor heard or saw me just getting out of sight. Dad did the search and left me alone. But just as Baron Al was about to start talking about his plans, coming on like he always did, the traitor stopped him and came right over to where I was hiding. Of course, that really fucked things over. Baron Al didn't recognize me, but he was really pissed at Dad for not finding a kid, and real pissed at being shown up like that. He had a blaster on Dad and was about to chill him and me on the spot. Dad went for his, and I guess he wanted to end Baron Al's reign and worry about shit afterwards. But it didn't go that way, because the traitor thought it would be a good opportunity to try and steal some of the old tech stuff. Stupid bastard actually tried to palm some radio stuff that didn't work. I know, because I tried it out before, and Baron Al caught sight of him. It was chaos. Baron Al chilled the traitor, and as he moved, he put himself just out of line for Dad's shot, which took him down, but left him alive. Of course, all that noise brought all the sec out of the woodwork, and Dad had to steal a wagon and head out to the desert with me. He knew Joe was out here somewhere, and just had to trust to us finding him, or him finding us, before Baron Al caught up with us, or we ran out of water or food, what little we were able to grab. Thing is, it was too late for Dad. There was a firefight as we got out of Charity, and he caught a couple of slugs. It didn't seem too bad, but I guess he was bleeding a lot inside, and he got weaker the more hours we were in the wagon. Well, it was evening when we broke out of Charity. By morning, he'd bought the farm. I managed to keep driving, even though I'd never actually driven a wag before. I guessed I must have nearly bought it too by the time some of Joe's people found me. They must have seen the wag on a patrol or something. Shit, I don't know how else they could have come across us, as I don't think Dad knew where he was heading, and I sure as shit didn't. It was fate, as Joe says. He recognized my dad when they brought the wagon. And I guess I've been here ever since.
So you want to get even with that scumbag Baron Al?
Well, I guess we all do, but... yeah.
Have to see what we can do, right, Jack? Doc?
Fat is fat.
Really, Mr. Lauren, we so desperately need to work on your erudition.
Fuck that.
They were rounding the base of the mountain, coming around to the direction in which they'd first faced, where their objective lay. Now the mission was about to begin. Lonnie turned to them as they reached the last point of shadow, with only the blazing heat of the day ahead.
Cut the crap! We need to preserve our strength and breath for this.
Yeah, and that means you especially, Danny. You talk far too much, kid.
Back in the redoubt, Correll was dividing the remaining people into groups to take turns at training, target practice, and equipment maintenance. One thing that all the companions had noted in their brief time at the redoubt was that the only hellbenders to carry blasters had been those that had formed the defensive party that had met them earlier. The rest of the dwellers were unarmed. Ryan raised the matter with Correll.
We don't have to be armed among ourselves. Fate has brought us all together for a reason, and when you're united in that purpose, then there's no need for blasters. Sure, the Sek are still carrying their blasters, but it's just a precaution till we get to know you better, especially as we didn't ask for yours.
Why didn't you?
Well, if you wanted to keep blasting, you wouldn't have agreed to a truce down on the lower level. It's fate.
Right. Fate.
Ryan was a little baffled by the Hellbender's leader's reasoning, but decided to say nothing. When both parties could benefit from the action on Charity and Summerfield, it didn't make sense to rock the boat. Christy and Mildred were among the first to be sent to target practice, while Ryan was assigned to be on the first training party, honing reflexes and fitness in the gym section of the old redoubt. JB was sent to assist Jenny at the armory, making sure that the blasters were oiled, cleaned, and supplied with spare clips and ammo belts for those who'd be assigned them, and that all Grens were primed and ready for action. But as soon as JB arrived at the armory, he knew he was going to have problems. Jenny had just dispatched the rec party, and so was still in the quartermaster stores when the armorer arrived at the empty room. He punched the set code into the panel. Stepping into the dim room, he turned to the panel on the wall beside the interior sector switch and turned on the lights. Like all redoubt armories, it was a large warehouse of a room with a low ceiling but a deep set, going back some 25 feet into the rock. The walls were lined with racks on which were boxes of rifles, pistols, ammunition, grens, and plasecs, and racks in which rifles and machine pistols with extensions were stored upright. There were also Uzis, H&Ks, Steyrs, Smith & Wesson M4000s, and a couple of anti-tank rifles and bazookas that were stored upright to one side of the armory.
I have died and gone to heaven.
JB stepped farther into the room and examined the markings on the sides of the boxes. There was also a variety of Smith & Wesson and Glock hand blasters, as well as the relevant ammo. The Plasecs was of the expected variety, and the Grens came in shrapnel, stun, and gas varieties, giving the attack party an extensive choice of weaponry from which to arm themselves. JB had rarely seen a redoubt in which the armory had been so beautifully maintained. Even the redoubt that had been inhabited by the descendants of the original soldiery, where they'd encountered the Rat King comp. The air conditioning system, which in most redoubts had an automatic dust removal filter, had obviously been kept in working order, and Jenny, he assumed, had been true to her job in keeping the weapons well-oiled and maintained. He opened a couple of cases at random, and under the oilskin cloth that protected the different blasters, he found the time had been put into keeping the weapons in combat-ready condition.
I am impressed.
The armorer replaced the lid on the last crate he had checked, and sat back on his haunches in front of the black metal racks that housed the crated weapons. He pushed his fedora back on his head and scratched at his hairline. Behind his spectacles, his eyes glittered with contemplation. Given the combination of weapons, he was already trying to work out the allocation and placing of certain weaponry in order to maximize the potential for winning. The man was lost in a world of strategies and alternative planning and didn't hear Jenny open and close the sector and approach.
You couldn't wait for me?
What? Oh, shit, I must be losing it.
I said you couldn't wait for me?
Oh, well, Corell asked me to come down here and take a look around. There was no one around when I got here, so I was just taking an inventory.
Trying to find fault?
Usually I don't have to look too hard, but you keep a good armory. Everything's in excellent condition. It's rare to see that.
I'll take that as a compliment.
That's the only way to take it. There's one thing, though.
Yeah?
Don't be so damn defensive. I just want to know if any of these weapons have ever been used.
I don't know. I've been doing this a few years, but before that, you know, I don't recall any ever being used on an attack. We generally keep to ourselves and don't get many intruders.
Okay, so if these are well kept but unused, there are a few tests we should run.
Like what?
Well, if you'll stop hitting out every time I say something, then maybe I'll get a chance to show you.